Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server version 8.5 Liberty Profile. Get your hands on it today. Today's presenter is Sonali Samantri. Sonali works as a senior staff software engineer for IBM Software Labs India for the WebSphere group. She is the worldwide test lead for SIBUS and is responsible for the functional verification and system verification testing from the major product releases and fixed pack releases. She is responsible for driving quality enhancements within the team. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sonali. Sonali, you may begin.
Thanks, David. Hello, everyone. I'm Sonali Samantri, and I currently work in the test team for Service Integration Bus component of WAS. I'll be the speaker for today's session and will be taking you through the deck we have in front of us. I'm in slide number 2. This slide talks about the agenda of today's session. We will start with looking at the release history of WebSphere application server, know what is Liberty Profile, and what it offers for our developer community. We'll also discuss about the architecture of Liberty Profile in brief, see some of the awesome benefits of the Liberty Profile, like how it facilitates achieving a simplified server configuration and dynamic feature management. Next, we'll also talk in brief about the security aspects like authentication and authorization flows. Then we'll move on to look at some of the logging and monitoring aspects of the Liberty Profile. With the recent release of WAS version 8.5.5, we'll discuss on some of the new offerings and end the session with a note on references and then take some questions. I'm in slide number 3. This slide gives a snapshot of the release history of WebSphere application server. Now, for 15 years, IBM has delivered the WebSphere application server product that has earned its leading and trusted role in the marketplace as providing values and results for our customers. WAS version 8.5 esteems its predecessors with a profile that is fast and lightweight that only loads components that are needed in accordance to your configuration. Now, Liberty Profile, the name of this cool new lightweight profile, provides a host of features that you come to expect from IBM WAS, such as JSP, JSF, JPA, SSL, security, and a host of other features. Another key attribute in WAS version 8.5 is the intelligent management function, which makes the application server even more resilient than its predecessors. However, with so many cool features of WAS version 8.5 and version 8.5.5, we will limit the scope of this session only to the Liberty Profile. I'm in slide number 4. The next couple of slides will give a brief introduction to the Liberty Profile. I'm in slide number 5. Now, the Liberty Profile was first introduced with the release of WebSphere Application Server version 8.5. Liberty Profile is a highly composable and dynamic runtime with multiple purposes. It improves the out-of-the-box user experience for developers. It facilitates to run WAS components in a much more composable and dynamic way than the traditional WAS runtime. While focusing on the developers, Liberty Profile maintains fidelity with full profile WAS. It uses the same containers and offers the same quality of service as full profile WAS. Applications can be developed and tested using Liberty Profile and then deployed on full profile WAS. The Liberty Profile is also optimized mainly developer and operational productivity. This slide summarizes some of the awesome reasons that makes Liberty Profile a cool one to adopt to. You get free and frictionless download for development purposes. It has an ultra-lightweight modular runtime environment with an install size of under 50 MB. It has an incredibly fast startup time, under 5 seconds for simple web applications. It facilitates simplified configuration for quick time to productivity. It also provides J2E and OSGI application deployment support for web applications. It provides support for LDAP registry. It is not only supported in development, but it is also supported in production, where it can be managed if needed using the job manager, where it can handle thousands of servers. The job manager acts as a single point of management for install and start and stop of a server instance. Supported jobs include install Liberty Profile resources, you can uninstall Liberty Profile services, start Liberty Profile server and stop Liberty Profile server. Along with this, it also does status reporting of all the servers. It also brings with it a broad tooling support. Now, WebSphere Developer Tools, WDT, is available for the Liberty Profile. It is available for free in the Eclipse Marketplace. It is also available in supported versions of WebSphere for Developers, also known as RAD, Rational Application Developer. Last but not the least, Liberty Profile also provides a broad platform support, including ZOS and macOS. I'm in slide number 6. As I mentioned in the previous slide, Liberty Profile was introduced for the developer community. Now, the feedback from developers using traditional WebSphere application server was frequently performed tasks such as application modification, debugging a problem, and changing configuration was demanding an application or server restart. Also, server restart was taking a lot of time. Now, given this feedback, Liberty comes with dynamic capabilities which does not need restart of application and server in frequently done activities by developers. Also, server restart is faster and has a smaller footprint than traditional WAS. Developers can now develop application hassle-free and quickly and then deploy the same application on traditional WAS. The application will run exactly same on traditional WAS since both have same containers. Thus, it helps accelerate development time to value. I'm in slide number 7. Now, this slide gives a snapshot on the startup and footprint of Liberty Profile comparing to others in the market. These results were taken initially when version 8.5 was released. The problem of conceptualizing and accomplishing a lightweight development environment in WebSphere has been solved, and Liberty Profile is the answer to it. From the chart, we see Liberty Profile startup and footprint are at par with Tomcat. It starts up in less than half the time of JBoss Web Profile. The system info used for this comparison is mentioned in the slide. All servers had the TradeLite benchmark application installed. However, the numbers have slightly changed in 8.5.5. The reports are yet to be out. Moving on to slide number 8. We'll briefly discuss the architecture of the Liberty Profile in this slide. Before moving to the architecture, it's worth to talk in brief about OSGI, since Liberty Profile is built on OSGI technologies. To give a brief info on OSGI, OSGI stands for Open Services Gateway Initiative. Developing with OSGI technology means developing bundles, also referred as the OSGI components. Bundles are nothing but modules. They hide their internals from other bundles and communicate through well-defined services. Hiding internals means more freedom to change later. So this not only reduces the number of bugs, it also makes bundles simpler to develop because bundles implement a piece of functionality through well-defined interfaces. The OSGI framework is dynamic. It can update bundles on the fly and services can come and go. Bundles can be installed, start, stopped, updated, and uninstalled without bringing down the whole system. Another advantage of OSGI is lazy loading. Lazy in software is good, right? And the OSGI technology has many mechanisms in place to do things only when they are really needed. For example, bundles can be started eagerly, but they can also be configured to only start when another bundle is using them. So services can be registered, but only created when they are used. The specifications have been optimized several times to allow for these kind of lazy scenarios that can save tremendous runtime costs. Now, coming back to the architecture of the Liberty Profile. In Liberty Profile, OSGI services are used to manage component life cycles and the injection of dependencies and configuration. The server process comprises a single JVM, the Liberty kernel, and any number of optional features. The feature code and most of the kernel code runs as OSGI bundles within the OSGI framework. Features provide the programming models and services that are required by the applications. The kernel launcher bootstraps the system and starts the OSGI framework. The configuration is then parsed and the configured features are loaded by the feature manager. Now, the kernel extensively uses OSGS services to provide a highly dynamic runtime environment. The configuration admin service manages system configuration, and an OSGI declarative services component manages the lifecycle of the system services. The file monitor service detects application and configuration file changes, and the logging service writes messages and debug information to the local file system. Features are then specified in the system configuration files, that are the server.xml files and any other included files. The server configuration files populate the OSGI configuration admin service, which injects the feature configuration into the feature manager service. The feature manager then maps each feature name to a list of bundles that provides the feature. The bundles are then installed into the OSGI framework and started. The feature manager now responds to configuration changes by dynamically adding and removing features while the server is running. Runtime services provide configuration default settings so that the configuration you need to specify is kept to a minimum. You then specify the features you need along with any additions or overrides to the system default settings in the server.xml file. You might also choose to structure your configuration into a number of separate files that are linked to the parent server.xml file by using an include syntax. Now, at the server startup or when the user configuration files are changed, the kernel configuration management parses your configuration and applies it over the system default settings. The set of configuration properties that belong to each service is now injected into the service each time the configuration is updated. So that's the brief about Liberty Profile Architecture. I'm in slide number 9. Now, next couple of slides will focus on some of the key benefits of the Liberty Profile. I'm in slide number 10. Now, the Liberty and traditional WAS have different kernel but the same containers. In traditional WAS, we have all containers up and running as soon as the server starts. But in Liberty, we only load the containers dynamically when needed. So this is one of the key benefits of Liberty Profile, how we achieve highly composable runtime based on features. I'm in slide number 11. Now, installing a Liberty Profile is very easy. The Eclipse is free. Developer Tools is also free. Liberty for Developers is free, and all three can be used to develop applications and run on Liberty for free for developers. It involves three easy steps. First step is install WAS Developer Tools from Eclipse Marketplace. Second step, use the tools to download the Liberty Profile or use the 40 MB zip from wasdev.net. Third step, create a runtime environment by specifying the JRE. Now, because the Liberty Profile does not include JRE, you must install a Java runtime environment provided by either IBM or Oracle beforehand. The minimum supported level for the JDK from Oracle is Java 6 Update 26. For the Java SDK from IBM, the minimum supported level is 6OSR1. Now, this Liberty Profile has a dynamic application server runtime environment that can be quickly installed by extracting compressed files. The Liberty Profile can also be used, can be installed using IBM Installation Manager. It enables flexible sharing of resources such as SDKs, runtime binary files, server configurations, and application binary files among many server instances. It also supports multiple JREs of version 6.0 or later. A package server containing an application, a Liberty Profile server runtime, and its configuration can be created in a single archive that can be unzipped for deployment. Moving on to slide number 12. Now, once you've created your runtime environment, you're all set to create your Liberty Profile server. This slide shows a snapshot of creating a lightweight WAS server using WebSphere Developer Tools. I'm on slide number 13. In Liberty Profile, configuration is made very easy. only one server XML file is used that will contain all the configuration. Now, it's a simple XML file which is easy to author, maintain in a version control system, share across and between development teams, and a diff can be done for changes. Ultimately, the server configuration for the WAS Liberty profile has been made a development artifact and it's editable within the workspace. So that's one of the key benefits. I'm in slide number 14. If more modular configuration is required, any of this configuration can be put into a separate XML file and then included from this main configuration file. So Liberty Profile supports flexible configuration through a logical, you can say, composite spanning multiple configuration files related through include. So the above data source configuration snippet can be maintained separately from the main server XML and simply included by it. I'm in slide number 15. So this slide talks about dynamic runtime provisioning. Now, responding and acting to the configuration changes while the server is running is called dynamic runtime provisioning. The changes need not be only restricted to addition and deletion of features. It is related to the application deployment as well. So the Liberty Profile supports two models of application deployment. You can choose to deploy an application by dropping it into the drop-ins directory, else deploy an application by adding it to the server configuration file. So you can uninstall and install applications at runtime without restarting the server. I'm in slide number 16. This slide talks about the feature management. Now, features are the units of functionality by which you control the pieces of the runtime environment that are loaded into a particular server. For this, we use the configuration file server.xml to declare which features you want to load. The set of features is enclosed within the feature manager element and each feature within the feature sub-element, as shown in the example. An example of defining feature management which is enclosed within the feature management is in the figure, if you can see. You can specify any feature in the server configuration file. Some features include other features within them, and the same feature can be included in one or more other features. At runtime, the feature manager computes the combined list of content that is required to support the requested set of features. Each feature has a version identifier. This identifier is provided so that multiple versions of the same feature can be used in subsequent releases. So what happens is the OSGI configuration admin service reads the configuration from the server.xml and injects this configuration to the feature manager. The feature manager then reads the feature definition and then installs and starts the bundles in the OSGI framework. When you change the feature configuration, the feature manager recalculates the list of required bundles, stops and uninstalls those bundles that are no longer needed, and installs and starts any additions. All features are therefore designed to cope with other features that are being dynamically added or removed. This process is called as dynamic feature management. I'm in slide number 17. You can also choose to administer the Liberty Profile from the command prompt, right? So there are two ways. From command prompt, you can administer. From the developer tools also, you can administer. So this slide talks about administering it from manually from the command prompt. You can package a Liberty server configuration along with the application that it runs for distribution to colleagues or installation on other systems. If available, you can use the Equinox OSGI console to aid with debugging. The WLP bin directory contains a script called server to help with controlling the server process. You can use this script to create, start, and stop a server. The syntax is shown in the slide. I'm in slide number 18. Now, next couple of slides, we will be discussing the security aspects of Liberty Profile like authentication, authorization, user registry supported, enabling SSL and using security utility. I'm in slide number 19. Now, Liberty Profile Security provides protection for web resources as per the Servlet 3.0 specification. This diagram shows a typical security process when accessing a protected web resource. To make the security process work, you must configure the appropriate security features and the configurations that are required for the authentication and authorization. So what happens is, when an HTTP client requests a web resource in the web container, the web container delegates the security check to the web security collaborator. The web security collaborator prompts the user to enter credentials if absent, and uses the authentication service to authenticate the user. The authentication service authenticates, creates, and returns the result if authenticated successfully. Otherwise, the authentication service reports an exception for the authentication failure. The web security collaborator uses the authorization service to perform a user authorization check. The authorization service in turn returns the authorization result to the web security collaborator. The web security collaborator then returns the result of the security check about whether the web user is authorized, and the web container now serves or rejects the requested resource. I'm in slide number 20. This slide shows an example configuration of the different kind of user registries supported by the Liberty profile. The Liberty profile server uses a user registry to authenticate a user and retrieve information about users and groups to perform security-related operations, including authentication and authorization. You can use the Quick Start security element to quickly enable a simple one-user security setup for the Liberty profile. Just define the username and password that is to be granted the administrator role for server management activities. You can also use a basic user registry by defining the users and groups information for authentication on the Liberty profile server. To do this, you add the app security 1.0 Liberty feature to the server XML file along with user information in the basic registry element. Make sure that each username is unique. It also supports LDAP registry. You can configure LDAP server with the Liberty profile for authentication. Ensure that your LDAP server is up and running and that the host name and port number which you are using for the LDAP server configuration is already in your known list. You can optionally configure failover for multiple LDAP servers as well. I'm in slide number 21. Now, authorization specifies access rights to resources. It usually follows authentication that confirms an identity. Now, what is the basic difference between authentication and authorization? Authentication answers the question, are you who you say you are? Now, on the other hand, authorization answers the question, do you have the permission to do what you're trying to do, right? So when an entity attempts to access a resource, the authorization service determines whether that entity has a required right to access the resource. This concept holds true whether an entity is accessing an application or performing administrative functions. The main difference between authorizing access to an application and access to an administrative function lies in how the users are mapped to roles. For authorization of applications, use the application BND element in the server XML or the IBM application BND XML/XML file to map the users to roles. And also for authorization of administrative functions, use the administrator role element in the server.xml file to map users to the administrator role. Now, authorization is performed when an entity attempts to access a resource in an application served by the Liberty profile. The web container calls the authorization service to determine whether a user has permission to access a certain resource given a set of one or more required roles. Now, these required roles are determined by the auth constraint elements in the deployment descriptor and other servlet security annotations. The authorization service also determines what objects the required role is mapped to. This step is accomplished by processing the mappings defined in the application BND XMI or IBM application BND XML file and the application BND element of the servlet XML file. The mappings from these two sources are merged. And if the same role is present in both sources, only the role mapping in the server.xml file is used. So the advantage of using the server.xml file for mapping roles to users is that your application does not need to be packaged into an ER file and it is easier to update. Alternatively, using the IBM application BND, XMI, or the XML file makes your application portable to other servers and other full profile servers that do not support the server XML file. So if the required role is mapped to the everyone special subject, the authorization service returns immediately to allow anyone access, right? If the role is mapped to the all authenticated special subject and the user is authenticated, then the authorization service grants access to this user. If none of these conditions are met, then the authorization service determines what users and groups are mapped to the required role. So this service grants access to the resource if the user is mapped to the required role or if the user is part of a group that is mapped to the role. Then the authorization service returns the result back to the web container to indicate whether the user is granted or denied access. I'm in slide number 22. So this slide talks about enabling SSL communication for the Liberty profile. The SSL handshake is a series of messages, as we know, that are exchanged over the SSL protocol to negotiate for connection-specific protection. During the handshake, the secured server requests that the client sends back a certificate or certificate chain for the authentication. To enable SSL for the Liberty profile, you must add the SSL 1.0 Liberty feature to the server.xml file, along with code of the key store information for authentication. In this configuration, which is shown in the slide, the key store type is JKS. You can create this default key store using the security utility create SSL certificate option. The server creates the key store for you if it does not exist during SSL initialization. The password must be at least 6 characters long, and the type of the key store is JKS by default. Key stores of other types can also be specified in the minimal SSL configuration if the key store file is already created. Only JKS key store files are created by the server by default and if the key store file is not existing. The certificate has a validity period of 365 days and the CN value of the subject DN is the host name of the machine where the server is running, and the signature algorithm of the certificate is SHA-1 with RSA. The single key store entry for a minimal SSL configuration can be extended to include the location and type as well, as shown in the slide. The location parameter can be an absolute path to the key store file. If it's an absolute path, then the key store file is assumed to have been already created. Key store of other types can also be specified if the key store file is already created, as I've already mentioned. And when the minimal SSL configuration is used, the SSL configuration defaults are used to create the SSL context for an SSL handshake. So the configuration protocol which is used is SSL TLS by default. Okay, I'm in slide number 23. This slide talks about the security utility command, what I discussed in the previous slide. You can use this command to create a default SSL certificate for use by the Liberty profile configuration. I'm in slide number 24. Next, we move on to the section of logging and monitoring. I'm in slide number 25. This slide talks about the log and trace files used for debugging purposes. Inside the Liberty profile directory, there is something called USR, user directory. There is a directory for each server. So each server has a log directory containing messages.log, console.log, trace.log, if trace is enabled, and FFDCs in case of error conditions. I'm in slide number 26. The trace level settings are better documented in the info center than can be done on a slide, but are the same as for full profile WAS. You normally set them in server.xml, but could also set them in bootstrap.properties file if you needed to turn on trace before server.xml is processed. Here is a snippet given for your understanding. I'm in slide number 27. You can use the monitor 1.0 feature to monitor the server runtime environment. This feature provides performance monitoring infrastructure, that is PMI support, on the Liberty profile. To enable monitoring for your Liberty profile, you must add Monitor 1.0 Liberty feature in the Sovereign XML file. The Monitor 1.0 feature provides monitoring support for user runtime components like JVM, web applications, thread pool. Monitoring data is then reported as standard MX beans. You can use JConsole to connect to JVM and look at the performance data by clicking each attribute of the MX bean. I'm in slide number 28. This slide talks about the JVM stats. JVM stats MX bean is used for JVM monitoring in the Liberty profile. Each Liberty profile instance has one JVM stats MX bean. This MX bean is responsible for reporting performance of JVM, attributes are available for JVM, and some of these attributes are heap information. It gives information on amount of free heap available in bytes, total used memory by JVM for from heap in bytes, and heap size in bytes. It also provides CPU information like percentage of CPU consumed by this JVM. Provides information on garbage collection, information like number of times that GC happened since JVM started and total time taken by the GC activity. Some other general information like time in milliseconds since JVM has started. That's all about JVM stats. Now I'm in slide number 29. Now ThreadPool MX Bean is used for ThreadPool monitoring in the Liberty profile. All web requests execute in the thread pool named default executor thread pool. You can monitor the usage of default executor thread pool using thread pool MX bean. The key performance data available for thread pool are threads in the pool, which represents the pool size, active threads, which are serving the request. Some of the attributes for thread pool are active thread, pool size, and pool name. This only supports default executor thread pool. I'm in slide number 30. Now, Serviet MX Bean is used for web application monitoring of the Liberty profile. Performance data is available for each servlet in the web application. Each servlet has its own MX Bean. Now, this MX Bean is responsible for reporting servlet stats for each servlet. The key data which is available for servlet stats MX Bean can be request count, which is the number of hits to the servlet. Response time, which gives the average response time in nanoseconds. It also provides info on servlet name and application name. The JConsole snapshot is shown in the slide. Okay, moving on to slide number 31. So far what we discussed was the Liberty profile, which got released or introduced with WebSphere Application Server version 8.5. We recently released WebSphere Application Server version 8.5.5. So this slide talks about the new and key capabilities in WebSphere Application Server version 8.5.5 Liberty profile. So before we get into that, an important thing to note here is the WASP family consists of different packages like WebSphere Application Server Express, Base, Network Deployment, ZOS, Developers, Hypervisor, edition and community edition. With release of WASP version 8.5.5, all of this package, with the release of WASP version 8.5, all of these packages include Liberty profile except the community edition, which is the open source based and contains neither the full nor the Liberty profile. But with the release of version 8.5.5, there is an addition to the WASP family called WebSphere Application Server Liberty Core. So this Liberty Core is a Liberty-only profile and is lightweight and low-cost based offering, not full-profile WebSphere Application Server, which provides the capabilities to rapidly build and deliver web apps that do not require the full J2E stack. Now we will discuss some of the key offerings in version 8.5.5 Liberty profile. New in version 8.5.5 is certification to the J2E 6 web profile, adding new features such as EJB Lite, managed beams, and context and dependency injection. The J2E 6 web profile, as we know, is a standard specification, including a common set of APIs designed to meet the needs of most modern web applications. So WebSphere Application Server version 8.5.5 added several programming models to the Liberty profile to complete the requirements for web profile. Some of the new programming models added in support of the web profile includes, as I said, EJB Lite, Managed Beans, and CDI. Next, what is new in WebSphere Application Server 8.5.5 is the ability to expose Liberty profile applications as web services. Support through JAX WS J2E API. The web services support for the Liberty profile provides both client and server functionality for SOAP-based web services as well as corresponding development and management capabilities. Now, WebSphere Application Server makes the development, deployment, and publishing of web services very simple through this. You can easily create the application as a POJO or EJB, provide the appropriate annotations and drop into WebSphere, and the WSDL is automatically generated and the service is published. With 8.5.5, new messaging capabilities, which include support for Java Message Service, JMS, and message-driven beans, and a new single-server message provider is introduced. We'll talk more about it in the next slide. Next one is ability to add Liberty features through a new system programming interface. A fundamental characteristic of the Liberty profile is the composable nature in which capabilities are exposed as features or building blocks for the server. While the Liberty profile includes many features out of the box, there is significant value added in being able to extend these capabilities. WAS version 8.5.5 allows customers and partners to extend this Liberty profile through the addition of features using a system programming interface, which is called SPI, which supports the complete feature lifecycle that includes packaging, installing, and servicing third-party features. Next, new offering is Liberty support for the NoSQL MongoDB database. Now, you can create applications for mobile and cloud environments using the Liberty profile and new integration with a NoSQL database. NoSQL is an increasingly common data store for new application workloads, which is a class of database systems, you can say, that is focused on storage and retrieval of unstructured documents rather than relational database and structured query languages. 8.5.5 delivers support for the MongoDB NoSQL database with the Liberty profile. It includes programming model support for application access through resource injection of configured database connections. Next one is DynaCache support in Liberty. The Liberty profile in WAS version 8.5.5 enables you to build more complex and responsive applications with improved performance by supporting the dynamic web cache, which includes caching of servlet and JSP responses. The Liberty implementation includes API compatibility with full-feature WAS DynaCache. You can leverage WebSphere web cache in both development and production scenarios, and as your caching needs grow, take the natural progression towards the adoption of WebSphere Extreme Scale for enterprise-level application caching. That's all about DynaCache support. Next is asynchronous work management. Asynchronous work management allows applications to use Java util concurrent executor service instances to perform work asynchronously while retaining the context of the calling thread. The caller can then look up this executor service through the JNDI and resource injection. So it provides more of a centralized management as compared to the traditional WAS. In Liberty profile version 8.5.5, there are some enhancements to the security capabilities as well. It offers significant enhancements in the area of federated repositories, custom user registries, also trust association interceptor, password hashing and encryption in server configurations, and web services security as well. These enhancements enable you to more easily integrate Liberty into your existing environment, taking advantage of capabilities such as user-provided registries installed as an extension to the Liberty runtime. Next one is high-performance extensible logging, that is HPL, for Liberty servers. It was HPL support was first introduced in version 8.5 for full profile WAS for improved serviceability. It includes storing log records on disk with improved performance and ability to expand what data is stored, a common design across platforms rather, and tools to easily view and search through log records. So administrators can now control a number of aspects of the HPL runtime, such as configuring policies to retain log information based on age of log records or total size of log data. So WAS 855 extends these HPL capabilities to the Liberty profile, from full profile to the Liberty profile, providing developers and administrators with enhanced views into applications running in the Liberty profile. The next key offering is the administration through collectives enabling clustering of servers. WebSphere Application Server version 855 introduces a new administrative model by enabling the grouping of Liberty servers into collectives for common management. You can administer multiple Liberty profiles by using this collective. So collective is nothing but a group of Liberty servers in a single management domain. It is made at least of one collective controller and possibly one or more members. So collective is at least one collective controller and some members. Role of this collective controller is to provide a single administrative point for MBeam's routing, cluster management, and file transfer. So configuring a collective requires defining the appropriate features in the server.xml file for each server and running a few command line tasks. All Liberty profile servers can then be a member of this collective, but the collective control is only available with WebSphere Application Server Network Deployment, that is the ND version, and with WebSphere Application Server for ZOS. The collective requires at least one Liberty server with the collective controller 1.0 feature enabled. Now, this server is the collective control. So if you find collective controller 1.0 feature in your server.xml file, that means it acts as a collective controller. Now, a Liberty server with collective member 1.0 feature enabled is called collective member. So there are two features here, collective control 1.0 feature and collective member 1.0 feature. There can be more than one controller in a collective. A collective member but can join more than one controller for failover and you can say workload balancing reasons, but the member only communicates with one controller at a time. In version 855, Liberty servers that are members of this collective can be configured into a server cluster for high availability and scalability. The cluster can be treated as a single object in the collective, thereby simplifying the operational management of the servers in the cluster. So these are some of the key offerings of the newly released WAS version 855 Liberty profile. I'm in slide number 32. I spoke about the JMS messaging support, which is introduced in WAS 855. So this slide gives an introduction to that. So Liberty profile supports this asynchronous messaging as a method of communication that is based on the JMS programming interface. The JMS interface provides a common way for Java programs, you can say clients and the J2E applications, to create, send, receive, and read asynchronous requests as JMS messages. With the Liberty profile, you can configure multiple JMS messaging providers, which can be used by the JMS applications. Now, there are three JMS messaging providers that are supported in the 855 Liberty profile. First one is Liberty Embedded Messaging Engine, which is the JMS messaging provider. Second one is Service Integration Bus, which is the default messaging provider of WebSphere application server. And the third one is WebSphere MQ messaging provider, which uses the WebSphere MQ system as a provider. Your applications can use messaging resources from any of these three JMS providers. The choice of the provider is made based either on your messaging requirements or for integration with an existing messaging system. For example, you might want your applications to connect locally to the Liberty messaging provider without the need to configure any external messaging provider, in which case you would use the Liberty embedded messaging engine. Alternatively, you may want to integrate with your existing messaging infrastructure such as WebSphere MQ. In such cases, you can either connect directly by using the WebSphere MQ messaging provider or configure a service integration bus which links to the WebSphere MQ network and then access the bus through the default messaging provider. Liberty messaging is an embedded messaging feature in the Liberty profile. It is a composable, flexible, and dynamic JMS messaging engine that runs only within the Liberty profile. It is JMS 1.1 compliant, and it supports both the point-to-point and PubSub messaging models. Liberty messaging runs only in the Liberty runtime, as I said, and you can use the Liberty feature manager to enable or disable the messaging features as required. Because the messaging runtime is highly composable, you can enable the basic messaging features for the runtime and dynamically enable more messaging features such as security, etc., based on your requirement. This Liberty messaging can be classified into two parts. One is the JMS server runtime, and the other one is JMS client connectivity. Now, the JMS server runtime provides all the runtime capabilities for connections, transactions, persistence, security, and so on. But the client connectivity provides the resource adapter support to allow JMS clients to perform synchronous and asynchronous messaging activities. The messaging engine runs as a singleton instance in the Liberty profile, which means that any specific time, there can be only one messaging engine that is running in a Liberty kernel. So to enable JMS messaging between two Liberty profiles, one instance should be defined as the client by enabling the WASP JMS client 1.1 feature in the server configuration, which is nothing but your server.xml file. The other instance is defined as the server by enabling the feature WASP JMS server 1.0. The server instance must define the messaging engine by using the messaging engine element and the queue or topic property, the endpoint by using the WASP JMS endpoint element. The WASP JMS port specifies the messaging engine listener port. So having said that, we'll discuss about the three types of JMS application connectivity. The application can run in three ways. First one is in a Liberty profile that is hosting the messaging engine. Second, in a different Liberty profile that is not hosting any messaging engine. And third one, in a WebSphere application server full profile. So there are three things. One, in a Liberty profile, which is hosting the messaging engine. Second, which is not hosting any messaging engine. And third one is WebSphere application server full profile. Right, so this is these are some important points to note about Liberty messaging. But we'll also discuss some of the internal features or functionalities of Liberty messaging. First one is the MDB support for both point-to-point and PubSub message flows. We use these MDBs, that is message-driven beams, to connect to the embedded messaging server. MDB can be configured in the Liberty profile in two scenarios. One, when both MDB and the messaging engine are on the same Liberty server, and when MDB is connecting to a remote messaging engine that is running on a different Liberty server. So all these scenarios are based on the three kinds of how the JMS application can run. Next one is securing JMS connections in Liberty profile by using SSL. You can now secure JMS communication between two Liberty servers by enabling the SSL 1.0 features, as I've already discussed, and providing SSL certificate-related configurations on both the server and client. You can also secure JMS messaging for the Liberty profile. There is some feature called WASP JMS Security 1.0 Liberty feature, which is used to make the WASP JMS Server 1.0 feature work in a secure mode. So in a client-server setup, the WASP JMS Server 1.0 would be present in the server.xml of the server. Okay, and you have to include WASP JMS Security 1.0 feature in that server.xml. Now, securing the messaging resources ensures that only authenticated and authorized users can access the messaging resources such as queues, topics, and messages. It also, Liberty Messaging also provides interoperability between the full profile, that is the traditional website application server, and the Liberty profile. The beta refresh, which happened for WAS 855, it included support for enabling interoperability, which is eventually present in the release version of 855. The JMS applications that are deployed within the Liberty profile can connect to the messaging engine that is running within the WebSphere application server full profile. Similarly, the JMS applications that are deployed within the WebSphere application server full profile can connect to the messaging engine that is running in the Liberty profile. Next one is support for WMQ. WebSphere MQ is now supported as the message provider in the Liberty profile. You can configure WebSphere MQ resources for applications, for example, queue connection factories, etc., and manage messages and subscriptions that are associated with JMS destinations in the Liberty profile. You can also administer security through WebSphere MQ. Additional configuration might be required in WebSphere MQ depending on the resources that are used by your application. So that's all about JMS messaging in WAS version 855. I'm in slide number 33. These are some of the references which can help you get started right away. WASDev.net can be used to have active participation and interaction with the developers who work with the Liberty profile. There are a series of interesting blogs and articles, what you can do with the Liberty profile, how you can download and use it. Everything is present here. Please go ahead and try. And if you want any changes or you have any suggestions, there is an interface where you can do so. So please try it out. Moving to slide number 34. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit websphereusergroup.org for user group information and more product information. Also, the IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So please go ahead and use this. With this, we come to an end of the session. I would like to hand it over to David.
Thank you, Sonali, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We do have a question. Sanjeev, your line is open.
Yeah. So my question, Sonia, is can the Liberty profile be shared across multiple cells? Let's say we have multiple cells in the infrastructure, and we wanted to share the Liberty profile across multiple cells and use the job manager to promote the code. Is it possible?
Yes, it's possible.
So how do we control the environments? I mean, like, do you have any standards, any documentation if you can send it across? Because I'm not aware in the Red Book that kind of
Yeah, you can use Job Manager to do that activity. The information, you can find it out in the Info Center, WAS 8.5 Info Center.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions.
Thank you. We do have a couple of questions in the group chat. The first one is, can the Liberty profile act as a participant server in a cluster created in WASMD where other servers are a full profile server?
No. So at the present, we are doing it using the collective controller and the collective member, as I said, right? So you need to have WASMD deployment, but the members of the cluster has to be only the Liberty profile servers.
Okay, thank you. And then the other question, what use cases do you see for Liberty Profile in a production environment?
Well, Liberty Profile initially is introduced for the developer community. However, you can use it for production environment using, like we discussed, right, using a job manager, which can act as a single point of management for install and start and stop for a server instance. We are adding capabilities in 8.5 and 8.855. We are still in the process of making it a full-fledged one for the production one, but still, since the collectives and clustering part is available, you can think of a scenario in production environment.
Thank you. Question in the group chat. Can we use the HTTP plugin to route requests to servers?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any further questions, so at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sonali, for presenting today.
Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone.